Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam, and we are in pretty good moods, are we not, Sam from FPL Family?
Top four.
Spurs in the top four. Good performance against West Ham. We'll talk about that a bit later on. My team, who I didn't give a hope in hell's chance this time a couple of weeks ago, I was like, well, we're not going to win the Merseyside derby. Then we've got to go to Newcastle. We're not good enough. Back-to-back wins, back-to-back clean sheets. All of a sudden, it's on just in time as well.
Yeah.
For a double game week coming up next week in FPL. So lots of Liverpool conversation tonight, I suspect, which will be right up my street.
Well, I don't know. You'll just be negative.
No. I'm feeling a bit more buoyant about my boys now. It's funnily enough, on the back of two straight wins and two nils, and certain players getting, you know, their monkeys off their back, if that's the right phrase, isn't it? Gakpo getting off the mark. Salah looking like he's in a bit of form. Van Dijk back in the team. Jota back from injury. It's suddenly the garden's looking a little bit rosier, isn't it, up at Anfield? And just in time, like I say, for us, from an FPL perspective, to start investing in Liverpool assets. More on Liverpool a bit later on. But we had a really good weekend of action and some interesting scores, right?
Weird scores.
Was not expecting, for example, Southampton to go to Stamford Bridge and get a 1-0 win. I mean, that was pretty out there, wasn't it?
That was an interesting one.
And, of course, Manchester City dropping points in the title race, right? On the back of Arsenal looking like they were going to drop points in the title race and then coming back to win it 4-2 in what was one of the best games of the weekend, if not for many weeks that I've seen. Who said the 12:30 kickoff was a washout? I mean, you and I have sat here many times and said the 12:30 kickoff is often a washout, low-scoring, low-energy game. Not a bit of it at Villa Park. It was a sensational game, 4-2. And then Man City dropping points at Nottingham Forest in what has to be the season's biggest smash and grab. I mean, if anybody watched that game, let me know what you think in the comments below. I watched the highlights on Match of the Day. How City haven't won that game is absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. And the fact that Haaland didn't get anything for his captainers, and I know most of you that listening and watching the replay of this live stream will have captained Haaland this week, how he's not got anything out of that game is unreal. Absolutely unreal. He was, I'm just looking at the Fantasy Football Scout members area for XG underachievers. So this is the players that have been unluckiest this game week. He's fifth. And there's some humdingers ahead of him, like Eddie Nketiah and Wout Weghorst. Oh. Nketiah, he has done such a great job of dodging FPL points since he's been in my team. It's absolutely unreal.
I was very angry.
What was the moment? It was the moment where Nketiah...
Sam!
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it, honestly. The fact that Nketiah does that press, and Arsenal, we do the game in a bit more detail in a minute, but Arsenal pressed way better in that second half. They were a different team second half, and Nketiah pressed high, won the ball, put it on a plate to Odegaard, and I'm thinking, assist for Nketiah, goal for Odegaard, my two players at Arsenal that I've got that you haven't got. I'm like, let's go. And I was almost like celebrating it before he'd even scored. And he drags it wide, Odegaard. I couldn't believe it.
But the best thing
about
this...
Actually couldn't believe it.
...is we were sitting with my mum. So my dad had gone to Chelsea. We'd got home from Sky. We'd gone to pick up the kids from my mum's. We're sat watching the game with my mum. And my mum was like, why was that such a big deal?
She couldn't believe why it was such a big deal for me. I was like, that's like 12 points, Debbie. Come on.
And my mum was going, but we don't want Arsenal to win the league, Lee. And Lee was like, that's a massive point swing on Sam. And yeah. I was just laughing.
It absolutely wasn't anything to do with the league. It was, you haven't got them, I've got both of them, and he's just missed an open goal. I couldn't believe it.
But
and then to rub salt into the wound, Sam, to rub salt into the wound, Martinelli.
Yeah.
In the last kick of the game.
Yeah.
When the goalkeeper's gone up for a corner.
Yeah.
Gets a tap in into an open net.
Yeah.
I almost quit FPL there and then. I almost did. Especially when Odegaard missed that one. My two Arsenal differentials against you conspire to miss an open goal. And then Martinelli gets a tap in the 98th minute with no kick. I just honestly couldn't believe it. What a swing. So we'll talk about that game in a bit more detail. And hopefully I'll be in a less emotional state to talk about it.
Sam!
I was just like, Sam! I shouted at you. I was like, Sam!
I'm sitting right next to
what me. What has happened?
Turned to me on the sofa, Sam! And I was like, and I just was laughing. And I was like, what happened?
It was awful. Nketiah to Odegaard. I was already counting the points. I was like, right. As soon as he passed it across, in my head, I was like, plus 12 points. I'd already banked the points. And he missed it.
You can never bank the points.
Could not believe it.
You should know, of all people, you should know you don't bank points till VAR's rubber stamped it.
Dear me. Dear me. Nigel the Crab, hello, Cyberdet. He is in this evening. He says, happy Sunday, Bonfields, and good evening. Imagine benching Haaland.
He did.
Simon benched Haaland.
He did. So
why are you doing that?
On Saturday lunchtime,
right?
We were driving, well, before the kickoff at 12:30, we were driving back from Sky.
Yeah.
And I was in the Slack. You were driving. I was in the Slack. And Syke popped in with this team. And he was like, guys, look what I've done. Because he'd been tinkering, I think, with his team for next week.
Right.
So looking what would happen for 25.
Yes.
26, 27, yes. 28. And somehow he'd got put Haaland on the bench in one of these, like, well, weird drafts. Well. And then forgot. Absolutely dodged a bullet.
As Si quite rightly says, benching Haaland and Kepa and getting away with it, mate, you have dodged a massive bullet there. You bench Haaland. Shame I took out my Arsenal assets and got rinsed. What a mug. I've given up second guessing how Simon plays FPL. I really have. Super chat from Duncan Crawford. Thank you, Duncan. Hi, for Duncan. The super chat. Hello, Bonfields. Hello, mate. 28k, baby. He says 28k, baby. Rashford captain and Bruno are legends. They certainly are, mate. That was a brave shout to go against the Haaland captaincy, to go against what most FPL managers will have done this week, I think. But to captain Rashford in that game and for him to get a couple of goals. One, he was...
Why is Siri even on your watch? I don't have Siri on my watch.
I don't... How do I turn it off?
Why is it... Why have you even got it on there?
How do I even... I've like... I don't know. I don't...
Give me a watch.
I'm fed up with Apple Watch. I'm getting rid of it. I'm going back to Fitbit.
No, you're not.
This absolute... I don't even rate it. Just keep talking to me all the time when I'm on live stream. It doesn't actually do it throughout the whole day, and then I decided to come on a live stream on YouTube, and it's like.
Do it in makeup at Sky.
It did. Just randomly talk. So Duncan, yes, Rashford captain and Bruno, nice one, mate. Very, very good indeed. 28k. What a rank, Duncan Crawford. What a rank. Neil Robinson is in. How are we doing, Neil? We've had ChatSport is in. John Tyner is here. Hey, John, how you doing, mate? Martin Tricky Swartz is here. Hello, guys. Hello, Martin. Aaron is in. Hey, Aaron. We've got O'Neill Campbell is here. We've got Sonny Forsberg. We've got FPL Harry is in. He says, just leave Chelsea alone, Sam. Leave
Harry,
Chelsea alone.
Harry, my brother for Christmas bought my dad hospitality tickets for yesterday's game.
And not good.
I saw my dad on Friday and I said, oh, at least, you know, you'll be all right. And he went, do you think so, Sam? And I was like, yeah, be all right. Yeah. Definitely weren't all right.
Definitely not right. I'm sorry, Harry, and I appreciate
that
you're
in to talk about it,
and
Harry.
Moderating, mate, but we can't leave it alone. We can't, because it was bloody dreadful from Chelsea and we've got to talk about it. Let's get on with these games, Sam. Where do you want to go to first? I noticed that the FPL website actually has come up with this. Have you seen this new little feature that they've done on the FPL website? So now, if I go to, say, Villa 2, Arsenal 4, like that, and I can go and sort of scroll down a bit as we usually do here on a Sunday, and you can see who goal scored and extra. If I go to player stats now, look, I'm going to player stats. I get a little bit of insight. I get by, it sorts it by points scored in the game. So Coutinho's top scorer with 8 against an XG of 0.2, played 61 minutes. That's quite good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Do you know about this? You obviously probably part of the team that pulled this together, weren't you? I don't know.
No, but I'm always on there anyway, aren't I? But yeah. I really like it. What's come is really nice, and it's just adding that, you know, because in the past,
extra insight. Past
you would have had to have, you know, dug down somewhere to find the stats, you know, either that would have been going to Scout or you know, popping over to Live FPL or, you know, other FPL services, or you'd have had to go through the stats area on the FPL website rather than through the app. And, you know, for a lot of us, we use the app, right? But I think having this kind of functionality on the website makes it really attractive.
It's really
appealing.
Nice. It's fairly basic-ish, I suppose. I guess over time you might be able to sort by the different columns. So it is by no stretch of the imagination.
It saves you to go through to the statistics area and go, tell me by round score who's done what.
Yeah, it's certainly not a substitute for the Fantasy Football Scout members area, I hasten to add. It's definitely not a substitute for that, but for us here on the FPL Family live stream, it's a nice little feature. It's a nice little feature. Let's talk about this game. Maybe I'll step back emotionally from the Nketiah to Ødegaard miss. Aston Villa 2, Arsenal 4. Great game, wasn't it? For a start, great game.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I said in my Insta reaction yesterday, if you're an Aston Villa fan, I think you'd actually feel quite hard done by in that game, because for large chunks of the game, Aston Villa played well. I thought they got their tactics
they did.
Right. I thought defensively they looked... this is going to sound ridiculous, given they got beaten by four goals. Mm. But I actually thought defensively they looked all right. Tyrone Mings, I thought, had a really good game.
All the goals were like... It was its own little goal of the month competition for a while, wasn't it? Some cracking goals going on. Like, Watkins took his goal brilliantly, I thought.
Well, Watkins, that's 4-4 for Watkins.
Yeah,
like,
little streakies on it,
And the thing is, he is a perfect example of a player that FPL managers have neglected.
We're all missing because there's no double.
Well, it's not just because there's no double. It's because he's in a forward slot and you've got Haaland, you've probably got Kane, maybe you've got Nketiah, or you've got Darwin, or, you know, you've got your three forwards and you're looking at them. Unless you had Mitrovic, if you had Mitrovic, that probably means you didn't have Nketiah or you don't have Darwin, and you're probably going to go there because of the double. But Watkins has just been in phenomenal form, and I think, you know... It's a shame, really. But what I will say is the Aston Villa fixtures are actually real nice. Nice fixtures coming up.
Let's have a look at those fixtures. You're right. It's Everton away next. And given that Everton have improved, that's probably a more difficult game on paper than it would have been a couple of weeks ago. Then it's Palace, West Ham, Bournemouth. Three games that look pretty good. Two of those at home. Before Chelsea away, which on paper looks difficult. But unless we see some improvement from Chelsea, that's looking a bit more blue than perhaps the Fantasy Football Scout FDR ticker suggests. So yeah, Villa are going to go massively under the radar as we all focus on getting doublers for 25. We focus on getting doublers for 27. Watkins is the sort of player we're just going to skim over, isn't he? Because he's not got the double, and actually he's on great form.
Yeah. I think from an Aston Villa perspective, he is the one if you do want a villain.
Assist for each of the fullbacks though, Moreno and Cash. I mean, is that symptomatic of the way Unai Emery is starting to play? He's starting to get a tune out of them.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why I brought in Lucas Digne all those weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because that was the style of play. Now, Moreno being there is problematic for Digne because obviously Digne lost his place to him this week. Although he did come on for a bit, I think, towards the back end of the game. But, you know, it's not ideal now that you've got that rotation risk. But I do think we're starting to see some of those types of players from other clubs stepping up now, though, as well. Not just at Villa. So, and maybe the other clubs are more likely to keep clean sheets. Although, having said that, with the fixtures that Aston Villa have got coming up, the clean sheets do look like they could stick. But I think if you want security and you do want to go defensively with them, then either Mings or Cash is probably the one, because you have got the Digne Moreno saga going on the other side.
Yeah. One thing that is being pointed out in the chat, so Martin Tricky Swatch, quite right in the chat, Watkins is overperforming. And I do agree with that to some extent, because if you look at the XG overachievers for this week in the Fantasy Football Scout members area, Watkins is sitting third. So he did get the goal, but only against an XG of 0.08, which to me, I mean, that says everything that you need to know about how clinical he was with the finish. Really good finish, but it was a low XG chance. Mm.
But he has been like that for weeks now. He's been clinical with the chances he's getting. Not getting many, finishing the ones he gets.
Okay, so to that end, could you say he's overperforming? He's been a bit lucky. He's not going to be in that position where he's going to get a couple of goals every game.
I don't think he's
a lot of chances.
Yeah, but when he does get a chance, he takes it. So I don't think that's luck. Like, he's in good form.
You'd expect some regression, though, wouldn't you, if you believe in the stats?
No. I don't think I would.
All right, fair enough.
I think the way that Emery has got them playing, I think he will continue to get chances, and he is a good finisher. So I suspect that he'll continue to finish them. He's low on the stats because he's not getting that many opportunities. But as they develop and in the nicer run of fixtures that they have, you'd expect them to get more chances and therefore more opportunities for Watkins.
Okay. All right. Well, despite the XG overachievement, he was top amongst forwards for BPS. So what does that tell me about his game? I disagree with you. That says to me he's doing all the hard work, he's moving defenders around, he's bringing in the likes of Coutinho and Cash and Moreno. He just took his chance really well today. And that doesn't suggest that's an FPL asset that I want to jump on, because he's not getting lots and lots of chances. And I would expect some regression off the back of that, because the work that he's doing for the team is benefiting those around him rather than him himself. But I do agree with you, he is on form, he's got 4-4, so you can't argue with that. It's just, if I was looking at it purely from a stats perspective, I don't think I'd go there, because I think I would expect some regression. But if you're just going to take the eye test, yeah, he's looking good. He's looking good.
See, I disagree. I don't think you'll get any regression. I think Watkins is a good asset for the next 5 weeks.
Okay. All right. And from an Arsenal perspective, again, the question that we always ask ourselves every single week is, what are the best three to have? Any thoughts on your opinion changed at all in terms of the three to have for the double game week coming up?
I still don't think having a defender is the right thing. Like, since now I've invested in Gabriel, I still look at that and go, I think I made a mistake there.
Without Thomas Partey, I agree with you. As soon as Partey comes back, I think it's okay to have him.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that is important, right? But they're just not quite at the races defensively, are they? Going forward, I think Saka, but you've got to mind him because he obviously picked up some sort of knock. He did see out the game, so I don't think it's a big issue, but let's just keep an eye on him.
I think he's absolutely, I don't want to say essential, but I think you have to have him next week, Saka. He's the one to have, I think.
And I think he is, because he played on after the injury. And Arteta didn't seem to suggest that there was any major issues. So as long as we get through the press conference, I think he is the one from Arsenal. And then it's tough, because Nketiah, well...
Top for XG underachievement. A delta of minus 1.15. Should have had a goal. Had chances. Pretty... good chances as well. I mean, there's one from a Ben White cross, I think, and he headed it, and it just sort of hits his head rather than him heading it. Do you know what I mean? It sort of just bounced off his head.
You counted the points on that one as well, didn't you?
I did, because I got Ben White and Nketiah. I was like, I don't rate him in the air massively, Eddie, and that's difficult. That's a bit harsh for me to say that, because he's okay in the air. It just wasn't good in that particular occasion.
See, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I also think there's a bit of a worry now, because obviously there was a lot of rumour on Saturday about who was getting benched. And, just before the deadline, there was a lot of, he's going to play Martinelli in a false nine.
Yeah.
And bench Nketiah. In the end, he didn't do that. Obviously, he started Nketiah, we benched Martinelli. Martinelli came on. But actually, I thought when Martinelli came on, leave aside the goal for a minute, but I thought he was good. He moved play around well. He got into attacking positions well. He linked up well with the players that were on the pitch.
Coming into a high intensity game though against a tiring Villa.
I don't disagree, but what I'm saying is that over the next two game weeks, is there potential there that he goes, well, I want to try playing Trossard and Martinelli together, I'll play Martinelli up top.
I don't think so. I think that was just nonsense Twitter, FPL Twitter rumour. We have it whenever there's an early game and there's a lot of FPL interest in it, you get some muppet come up and say, oh, there's some rumour somewhere.
Been rubbish. Well, I don't think he's played well. I don't think he's played well for the last few weeks. And I think they've really...
Led the line in a 4-2 win. He can't have played that badly. He's being asked to play the Jesus role, which is not be too selfish, bring others into play.
But he doesn't do that.
And they got four goals off the back of it.
No, but he doesn't do that. If you watch the amount of chances he creates for the team... he's not creating chances. He's letting others create the chances.
So that press he does in the second half puts on a play for Ødegaard. That's not him creating.
No, well, that one example is. Okay. But generally speaking, in the last few weeks, he's not created that many chances for his teammates. He's been the one that's waiting for the chances to be created and then trying to finish them and not finishing them.
Mm.
I think they really need Jesus back.
If you had Nketiah, would you sell him then ahead of the double?
No, I don't think you can sell him, but I don't think you buy him. I think that's the point I'm making.
Right.
I think if I didn't have three Arsenal players and I was looking to invest in a third for the double, I don't think I'd go Nketiah. I think I'd probably look at having... well, and this is where it gets tough, because it's Saka for sure.
Yeah.
It's probably still Ødegaard, I think. But
I thought he was brilliant at the weekend.
Yeah, but even his... returns have dropped off a bit, haven't they? He's brilliant, playing really well, but the returns he's getting have dropped off a little bit. Now, he was really unlucky not to have finished that opportunity that he had, and maybe the conversation's different if he scores that goal.
Yeah.
But he hasn't been quite as consistent in his returns since game week 20. Like, in the last sort of three or four games, he's tailed off a little bit. Mm. Not in terms of his performances, just in terms of the output that he's got at the end of it.
He managed to bag the three bonus points, I think. His BPS, underlying BPS...
because he's such a hard worker.
...was 35. That was fourth best amongst midfielders for the game week. So despite only getting an assist, I think. Didn't he just get an assist and miss a big chance? But he still got the free bonus.
He is doing that. Creative, bring people into the game, good pass completion, good chances created. He's doing all that stuff. So what you have got with Ødegaard is somebody that is always likely to pick up bonus points if he's in the score sheet of some way, in assist or a goal.
The one thing you can't say about him is that he's a rotation risk, I don't think. Without him, they're a different team, aren't they?
For sure.
He absolutely, everything goes for him. You saw that at the weekend. It's the way that he moves the ball around. He's a proper, proper captain. Here's a guy that, by the way, is not mega old, right? He's sort of early 20s.
No, he's great.
And the leadership quality he's got is unreal. He's really, really good. But I agree with you on Saka. He's... he's the one to have. And I have a problem because I don't have Saka.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, going into the previous double, I had a choice to either get him for a hit or go Odegaard. And at the moment, my choice to save that hit and go Odegaard has not paid off.
Yeah.
And I got the 8-pointer from Odegaard this week, so I'm not moaning about that. But Saka's haul last week in the double, and now it got a goal again. And now we're going into this double. I definitely want him. But, and I was going to do it last night. I was going to do Bruno to Saka last night because Bruno Fernandes was going down in price. I've sucked that up because I thought it was worth sucking up a 0.1 for information about Saka.
Just to make sure he's fit.
He's fit. And I know that he's finished the game, everything else, but they did not strap it at that,
they did really strap it, yeah.
And it was almost a bit like it was a key moment in the game, wasn't it? It was at a key time in the game.
Well,
when it was a bit like...
Well, when it happened.
Correct. And it's like, it was almost like he's the key player for them. It's like, we need to strap you up and get you through this game so we can win it. Rather than,
to win it.
I mean, if they're two or three up, I'm pretty sure he comes off there and then they bring on somebody else to cover him and they protect him. But they strapped him up and were like, right, get on with it. We need you.
Yeah.
That's how important he is to them.
No, totally.
They're key danger man,
totally.
Isn't it?
Totally. So I think Saka and Odegaard. And then I think the third one's really difficult because Nketiah, I'm not rating as much as I once was. Martinelli's a rotation risk. Trossard is obviously a rotation risk as well as Martinelli. They're in there together. The defence aren't keeping clean sheets at the moment. They're also not really getting attacking returns at the moment either. Now, okay, Gabriel could have and should have scored probably in that game. Ben White could have and should have got an assist in that game if Nketiah's finished the header. So maybe I'm being a bit harsh on the defence because maybe there actually were attacking returns for those players during that match.
Is it a straight choice between those two, or is Zinchenko putting himself on the radar now?
Was Zinchenko's
first goal in the Premier League, I read, couldn't believe.
But what did you say? How many chances did he have to get that one goal?
Oh, I saw a tweet, something like 74 shots in the Premier League, and that's first goal.
Yeah.
Yeah, bless him. But what a goal. He took it very well, didn't he?
Yeah, look, he was fantastic. He is a fantastic asset. We saw that in the beginning of the season, didn't we? When he got like three assists in a game and he was like really good.
Yeah.
So there is some attacking threat there from him, but there is also the rotation risk with him as well on that side because you've got Tierney and others that can come in as well. So it's tough, I think, to pick a defender. I think Ben White has become a bit more secure because Tomiyasu had a really bad game, made a couple of mistakes.
White's better than Tomiyasu going forward. I think he's a better better attacking fullback than Tomiyasu.
Well, I do too. But what I'm saying is that last week I thought he was a rotation risk and then he was a rotation risk because he played Tomiyasu.
Yeah.
Now what I'm saying is after the game the Tomiyasu did play, he was bad.
Yeah.
So now I don't think White is so much of a risk. But I don't know who the third one is. Like, I'm not going to deal with any of mine. I'm just going to keep the three I've got.
So you've got Gabriel, Saka and Martinelli.
Yeah.
I think you're all right. Stick with them.
I'm going to stick with them because Martinelli's going to start one and get benched in one, but probably come on.
Probably.
That's my feeling.
Probably.
So he's going
to get
120
minutes,
yeah,
aren't you?
He's going to get minutes in both. Gabriel's going to play both games. And Saka, if he's fit, he's going to play both games.
Yeah.
So I'm going to hold them three.
I actually think it's Saka, Odegaard and Zinchenko. Because I don't think Zinchenko's got much...
Tierney?
Although Tierney did come on, didn't he? I think Zinchenko's too important to the way that Arteta wants to play and the style. And the fact he's got a goal this week just cements him there as left back, I think. If you've got White or Gabriel or whatever, then hold, right? I wouldn't be moving sideways. But if you haven't got a third Arsenal and you do want to invest in the defence, I think Zinchenko's all right.
But do you think if you haven't got a third Arsenal that investing in the defence is the right thing? Or do you take a punt on one of the other attacking assets? Because it is a punt. Because if you go with Martinelli, Odegaard and Saka, if fit, they play.
Yeah.
Martinelli, Trossard, they're rotation risks.
Yes. Yeah. It's a difficult one. And of course, if Gabriel Jesus, for whatever reason, gets back on the turf between now and the double game week, then he becomes potentially an option as well, or at least a threat to Nketiah's minutes. Let's go elsewhere, Sam. Let's talk about Nottingham Forest 1, Manchester City won then, because Manchester City assets, if you've got them, which I know that you have, and we've all got Haaland, and you've got Mahrez, for example, who got the inevitable benching. Here we go.
Didn't
City
even bring him on, though.
Well,
which was really interesting for me, given they weren't winning this game. To not bring on Mahrez when you're winning this game, not winning the game. Interesting.
They were so comfortable, though. And then Wood scores on, what, the 82nd, 83rd minute? And to ask Mahrez to come on and impact the game in 7 minutes is quite hard work, I think. It's always the same with Mahrez. It's always the same. As soon as the Champions League rolls around, he starts becoming a bit of a ghost in the Premier League. It just is what it is. He's much better. Pep likes him in the Champions League, I think. That's always been the way.
Yeah.
And he's now a rotation risk in the league, in my opinion.
Maybe. They missed him. That's my view.
Do you think they did?
Yeah.
I don't think they did at all.
I do.
They created tons of chances. The XG was unreal. If they'd been a bit more clinical.
Yeah, maybe.
And who was
maybe.
It? One of their, I think it might have been Kyle Walker, or one of the defenders come out in the post-match and was a little bit, I thought it was a little bit close to the mark, actually. He was talking about, you know, if our forwards had been a bit more clinical. And I thought, oh, is that a little bit of a dig at Haaland there? I don't know. But if the forwards had been a bit more clinical.
Well, he's right.
Well, he is. But then equally, the defending for the Chris Wood goal is pretty crap.
That's
not good at all,
that's
right? Keylor Navas, by the way, he saved an absolute point-blank header from, I think it's Laporte, maybe, or Diaz. Rodri has missed a point-blank header. I mean, I can't tell you.
But
it should have been 5 or 6-0.
Those are not attacking players you're talking about. So
no.
We're not talking about Foden doing really well in this game. We're not talking about Grealish doing really well in this game.
Foden played really well in this game. He did play really well in this game. Grealish put himself about. Pep put the right players on the pitch to win the game. They just didn't win the game.
They'd have won it if Mahrez was on the pitch.
I completely disagree. And I think he's resting him for the
Champions League.
Which is the competition that he's focusing
on
now.
But bear in mind, the competition, the Champions League isn't back-to-back, is it? So they've got Champions League midweek, but then they don't have it again for another... It's early March.
Yeah.
So they've got plenty of time after this one fixture.
So the question is now, with the fixture coming up, it's Bournemouth, right? So it's Bournemouth, where are Man City? Near the top, right? Here they are, right. Bournemouth away, Newcastle at home, Palace, West Ham. So, and then I didn't realise we were on the horizon, and that's in 29. So the next four, I mean, the Newcastle game will be a humdinger, won't it? But the next four looks pretty good for Man City. So how do you feel about owning Mahrez going into these four games? And how many minutes do you think... do you think Mahrez starts against Bournemouth, for example?
Yeah.
You do? Okay. I wouldn't be sure about that. But if I was owning Grealish or Foden or Bernardo Silva, I'd feel the same. Kevin De Bruyne, I think, potentially has got a little bit...
I think De Bruyne is too much money.
He probably is, but I think he's a little bit more assured of starts than the others.
Would you be keeping him if he was your only route to Salah?
No, I think I would probably use him as a route to Salah if I wanted Salah next week. And there's a question mark still over that, in my opinion.
What?
Yeah, I think there's other options in that Liverpool team. We're going to come to that in a minute. Nigel the Crab, thank you for the super chat. Only two teams won at home this game week. Yeah, it's a weird old game week, wasn't it? Rotation and fatigue make some teams harder to predict than usual. Time for some more differentials. Time for an Everton treble up. That, Simon, is why... What's benching Haaland 1 week, Everton treble up, mate? Listen, let's not...
I'm not sure. Which three Everton players would you pick? Tarkowski, McNeil? Who else?
I don't know.
Pickford?
I would love to know your thoughts, Simon. If you go in Everton treble up, who are you going?
Roby?
It ain't Neil Maupai, is
Cody?
It? Surely. It's surely
Coleman?
Not. And it ain't Seamus Coleman. If he does not mean that, by the way, that goal. Have you seen it?
Well...
He does not mean it, does he? Melier's just taken a couple of steps off his line because he's expecting the cross, and Seamus has just shanked one in past the near post. I couldn't believe it.
I mean, it is the sort of goal, though. If they said to him, did you mean it? He'd be like, yeah.
Oh, he did. Post-match, he was like, yeah, I just saw the gap and I went for it. I was like, shut up, you dude. You absolutely shanked it into the side netting, you muppet. Right. So Nottingham Forest 1, Man City 1. Despite us being a bit neggy about Man City, you've got to hand it to Forest, right? They did... I guess what they needed to do, I saw the heat map for their performance. They're deep. It's like really deep. The Keylor Navas's box is bright red, right? They just dug in and they did a smash and grab on the 82nd minute. The City defending for the Chris Wood goal is shocking. It's terrible. And Pep said as much in the post-match. But 2 points drop for City. Massive 2 points drop for City. They should have won it, could have won it. And probably deserve to win it based on how many chances they created.
And so we spoke long and hard about City on the pod. Official pod this week.
Yeah.
And I said, if I was Pep, I'd be playing my... Like, I'd go out there with the team... Like, and I appreciate what you're saying about this team should have won it. The team he put out was a good team that should have been able to win it. But they needed the win on this weekend to take the confidence into the Champions League. Because they just had a massive result against Arsenal in midweek. They needed a win there to go into the Champions League. I think this will... Like you said, Kyle Walker's a bit neggy on the attackers. It'll just... create a little bit of like feeling going into the Champions League now.
Which they can't really afford, right?
Which they can't afford
head first for that competition, yeah.
Correct. And I think going back into the Premier League then, the week after, they're going to need momentum back in their stride again. I don't know with Man City. I think, look, if you've got Man City players, you're definitely not changing them out ahead of the game that they've got next week, particularly when you've got teams blanking. I think the only thing I would say is that if your Man City player is your route to a Liverpool asset, I'd do it.
Well, let's have that conversation then. So a result that I was not expecting, because Newcastle...
Why?
Newcastle have conceded one at home in their last six home games. Now, five clean sheets.
Well, that's true. But the feeling on Monday night, watching your team in the Merseyside derby, was a moment at the end of that game where it was like, right, this is the start of something. And they took it. They took that moment. I said to you, didn't I, that I thought Newcastle would concede. Obviously, the game is swung on Nick Pope's red card. However, Liverpool were already 2-0 up by the time that happened. So it's not changed the result. And actually, Dubravka come on and kept a clean sheet, didn't he? He got 6 points.
Dubravka get 6 points?
I think he got some bonus points as well. Check.
No way.
I think he got bonus points.
He did, he got a bonus.
Yeah, thought he did.
I totally missed that.
Yeah, came on, got a clean sheet and some bonus points.
Unreal. I tell you what, I do feel for, obviously at the time, I was up at the time. I saw the handball, it's clear as day. I was like, get him off. And then as soon as he went off, I was like, oh, I actually feel bad for him now, because he's been brilliant this year.
And it's a real shame.
And now he's going to miss a cup final. It's a shocker.
It's a real shame. And it's one of those things where you kind of go, I wish it was league specific, because he doesn't deserve to miss the cup final.
Yes.
However, it's the rules. But I thought Liverpool were great. Again, they were great.
You thought we were...
Yes.
Why are we disagreeing so much? We weren't great.
We scored
two good goals. No. The performance was not good.
Oh, I disagree.
It was not good.
Did we watch different matches?
No, the performance was not good. Defensively, we were all over the place. Absolutely all over the place defensively. Newcastle...
But you're always all over the place defensively.
Well, that doesn't mean that... So we're bad every week. That's what I mean. I'm not saying... If we'd have controlled the game against 10 men, you'd expect us with 2-0, game management, control the game, take the sting out of the game, quieten the crowd, everything else. They had chances. Alisson was man of the match. Easily our man of the match. St. Maximin had chances. Joelinton had chances.
Yeah.
Almiron had chances.
But it's not... You were never going to not give them chances. They're a good team. They were always going to have chances, regardless of whether they had 10 men or 11 men on the pitch. They were always going to have chances. I thought you played really well in this game. I thought it was another good result for Liverpool. Right.
So what are you going to do with Liverpool assets then? So we're coming into a double game week for Liverpool. Let's just remind ourselves of the fixtures. So the Liverpool fixtures, Palace and Wolves in 25. And then coming out of that into what looks like a pretty mouthwatering tie now against Man United at Anfield. Bournemouth and Fulham after that, before the trip to the Etihad in 29. So in the short to medium term, it looks all right for Liverpool. And I think there's going to be some investment on the back of these last two results going into double game week 25. You've got Darwin.
Yeah, who I told you on Saturday lunchtime on the drive back from Sky that I was and still probably am, as long as his shoulder is okay, planning to captain him in the double game week.
Right.
Because I think Liverpool are on the crest of a wave at the moment in a way that Arsenal... haven't been necessarily for the last few weeks. I know that they'll be buoyed by the result against Aston Villa, and they should be, because it was a good, hard-fought result.
Yeah.
But Liverpool are building something, and they've got their key players coming back in. Mm. I'm looking to intensify my investment in Liverpool.
Okay. So where are you going to go? Are you going to go to Mo?
Well, Mo's difficult for me because of the way that my team's set up. I don't have Kevin. I have mid-price players across my midfield, which has been working quite well. So there are a few options. The only way really to get to Mo is to sell Kane. Well, I mean, that's not happening. So I think what I'm probably going to do is go with Robertson at the back. I've got the money to do that.
We're a shambles defensively. You're going to go for Robertson.
But he was very attacking in that game, and it's two nice fixtures against teams that aren't scoring a lot of goals. You've got Palace and Wolves, who aren't exactly high-flying scorers at the moment. I know that a few weeks ago, Wolves put three past you.
What's making you go for Robbo over Trent?
It's a little bit cheaper. I can afford it without a pit.
Do you not think Trent's worth a little bit more?
Well, not for -4.
Hmm. So you could get to Robbo without taking a hit. Trent would be a hit.
From Luka Dean, I'd have to take a hit.
Okay, I agree with you not to take. Yeah, that's the right decision if you've got to take a hit for him. But yeah. I think if you're a straight choice between the two,
I'd go Trent if it was a straight choice.
I think I'd go Trent over Robbo.
But I don't want to take a hit for a player.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
So I think that. But all the other option is to look at one of the midfielders. Now Gakpo's been playing really, really well lately. Mm.
Talk to me about Gakpo then, because when that little thing I said a minute ago about getting to Salah and that's a bit difficult and I might want to keep Kevin De Bruyne and there's other Liverpool midfielders I might look at, it's him. Because I must admit, since he took that chance in the Merseyside derby, his confidence has really grown. Yeah, you can see it. And he's like, I wouldn't say it was a clinical finish against Newcastle, but the run he made in behind is almost as if to say, I know Mo's going to clip this. And it's going to go to Salah, and I know that he's going to play that sort of ball, so I'm going to put myself in the position to receive that pass should it come. And he did, and he ghosted in behind the defence. I think he sort of tucked it under Nick Pope, didn't he? And he his celebration was almost one of, you know, right, I'm here now. He didn't wheel away, you know, like cheering. He was just like, right, come on, you know, as if to say, I'm confident now. And I do, it's very, very difficult to sit here and recommend someone like a Gakpo over Salah. Because Salah's been what Salah's been for us in FPL over the last few seasons. But I have to say, when I look at the last two games, and obviously I've watched them very intently, the Everton game and the Newcastle game, I've watched the highlights several times because it's been put a smile on my face every time I watch him. He looks as threatening as Mo does. And if I look at this new thing on the website, right? So this new FPL table on the website. So Salah's XG at the weekend, 0.2. Gakpo's 0.81.
Mm.
So Gakpo's racking up the XG where Mo isn't. And I have a bit of a question mark about the fact that Jota and Firmino are now back as well. That is a question that gives you pause for thought, I think, around suggesting Gakpo because they're in his position.
They
right?
are, but these were big long-term injuries for Jota particularly,
yeah.
But also Bobby.
Yeah.
And Bobby is a senior statesman now. So I don't think he's going to come in and take 90 minutes off of either, unless Darwin's not fit, off of Darwin or off of Gakpo. And I don't think Jota's going to do that either, because I think Klopp is really mindful of the fact that Jota's been out for a long time and he's going to ease him back in. So you maybe get half an hour of Jota or 45 minutes. But across the double game week, if Jota gets, you know, 30 minutes in one match and 30 minutes in the other.
Yeah.
Well, you've still got 120 minutes of Gakpo then, which is good. The only thing I would also add to this is that you've got Champions League action this week.
Yes.
So we are, I think you're on Tuesday night, I think I'm right in saying.
I think so, against Real, yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to have, and with all due respect, this is your best shot at Champions League football for next season currently.
Probably, yeah,
with your league maybe. Position as it is. Because you're out of the FA Cup. So you've got to think that Liverpool are going to really go for it in the Champions League round of 16. We should get an insight from Klopp, well, we will, but when we see the team sheet, as to, is Darwin's shoulder okay? Has he just landed a little bit awkwardly and that's the problem? Or is there actually something more serious there? I hope it's something of nothing and it's just a little bit of pain from a landing, that's it.
Yeah.
We'll also get a view on maybe how fit the likes of Jota and Firmino are, how many minutes can they do? And we'll get another view of that Liverpool defence and what it looks like. So my suggestion would be, if you do want to go for Liverpool, then let's wait until after Tuesday, because you never know, you can get an injury to a key player again on Tuesday night. Hopefully not, because Liverpool have had their fair share this season.
Yeah, totally.
But it's definitely worth waiting on both Liverpool and Manchester City. And, well, I was going to say and Manchester United, but actually with Manchester United not playing next week, if you want to sell them ahead of the Barcelona game, then so be it.
Yeah, totally. I noticed Diogo Jota actually was in the top 10. He was 8th for XG underachievers across the game week with 0.52. He had a delta of minus 0.52 and he's only on the pitch for a few minutes, right? So there you go. He comes on, he makes himself, puts himself about a bit and causes some trouble and creates some danger. He's that sort of player. I'm very, very pleased to have him back, I have to say.
How far out's Luis Diaz?
A few weeks, I think. I think he's sort of back in training. I saw him back in training picture yesterday. But again, there's another one, to your point. Klopp is going to be very, very careful with him.
Well, they have
him,
to be
right?
careful,
very
yeah.
careful with him, yeah. I would suggest. He's not going to rush him back.
I think unlike Van Dijk, who had to be rushed back because you need him, defensively.
Yeah, I think
the
so.
Others
yeah,
you don't so, so much need, so let's rest them, let's get them back in a
the one to wrap in cotton wool, not for FPL but for Liverpool, is Bacetic. I mean, well, this kid is absolutely unbelievable, by the way. He's 18 years old, and every time I watch him I think he's, this is going to sound very hyperbolic and I apologise, but he reminds me of a young Xabi Alonso. He's got the Alonso's about him. He, honestly, this kid is really good. He's really, really good. He loves a tackle, doesn't mind a yellow card, breaks up play. It's just wonderful. For the second goal, for Gakpo's goal, when we play it out from the back and he spins the Newcastle, I can't remember the Newcastle players, but he uses his body to let the ball run across him so that he, because he knows there's space behind him. Because he's aware of it and he's manufactured that. The kid is special. Absolutely special. That's enough about my team. But very good. Very pleased with that. Concerns on Newcastle?
No.
Just a bad day at the office?
Yeah.
They need Bruno Guimarães back, I think.
They do. And obviously, he will be back soon. Yeah. I think their bigger problem is that... Well, look, the other thing to say here is that Nick Pope will only miss the cup finals. He won't miss any of the league matches. So if you do have Pope, you don't have an issue for the weeks that come. I don't think you should worry too much about Newcastle. Okay. I mean, I think if you've got anyone other than Trippier, though, you just sell them because they're not going to play in 25. You don't need them. Just bench Trips. Anyone else, Almiron, Botman, you can get rid of.
Cool. All right, let's move on to some of the games on Sunday. Harry, we are going back to Chelsea, mate. Don't you worry. I haven't forgotten about Chelsea. Before I go there, though, I'm going to just do a quick shout out to our Patreon community. Many of you are in tonight into the live chat, in the live stream. So patreon.com/FPL family if you want a little bit more of Sam and I in your lives. If you'd like some bonus podcasts every week. If you'd like to take part in our Manager of the Month competition where you could win something like you can see. Behind me on the wall here, a signed Liverpool shirt. Or there's some signed Spurs memorabilia here. There's all sorts of stuff from our partner, kickingtheballs.com. All the links are in the description below if you want to go and check that out. And you can have one-to-one Zooms with us about your team if you wish to come and support us at the top tier, the $10 Zoom tier. So patreon.com/FPL family if you'd like to get over to, you'd like to support us a little bit more over there on patreon.com. And... the current Manager of the Month February standing looks like this. This is before the Game Week 24 scores. I haven't added those in yet, but I'll be doing that tomorrow and then updating the patrons as to where we're at. But the Manager of the Month for February currently is Lee Kennedy. Lee playing very well indeed. Two great scores in Game Week 22 and 23. It's tight though behind him. So both Omar and Scott are both in there with 198. And there are some many players actually in the 190 odd bracket. So there's quite a few that are in and around the 200 mark. So Lee is leading the way, but it is pretty tight. It's pretty tight. So all to play for with Game Week 24 now done and Game Week 25 on the horizon. So thank you to all of our Patreon community that are playing in our Manager of the Month competition. Let's go back to here, Sam. Let's talk about United 3, Leicester 0. And it was all about Rashford again, wasn't it? Done the business, didn't he? Done the business. Ably assisted by Mr. Bruno Fernandes, who I have to say... going into the blank game week, I am probably going to sell.
Yeah.
But it's reluctant because he's found a bit of form and he's a great differential for me.
Yeah.
Really good. I love loving the points this weekend.
I think it's tough, isn't it, with United? Because, you know, unlike Newcastle, who I've just said, unless it's Trips, you can sell. With Man United, it's much harder, isn't it? Because, I mean, clearly you do not sell Rashford. You do anything in your power not to sell Rashford,
ever. I think
you've
got to keep him, yeah, absolutely.
But Bruno, Shaw, they're both playing really well at the moment. Shaw could have had some attacking returns today. Had a good shot, didn't he? Towards the back end of the game where I was
quite
like...
happy to see him go off, though, weren't you? Because he sort of banked the clean sheet. And Leicester at any given moment can, you know, they can get a goal. They've got the players
admit,
to do that.
I played Luke Shaw because I thought there was an attacking return there, not because...
I wasn't expecting a cleaner. Yeah,
no,
I agree with you. Yeah.
Right. So I was quite pleased to see him go off, locking that clean sheet and not, you know, not lose it. Because there were points in that game where I thought Ian Asher was going to get something. Madison, Leicester played... They were rubbish defensively. And actually, to be fair, actually both sides were pretty poor defensively. There was plenty of chances on both sides.
Up until Rashford's first goal, I thought Leicester were a better team.
They were. But De Gea was keeping them in the game.
Okay, well, yeah,
because he was playing really well. Yeah. So De Gea was doing really well. The back line were all over the place. The Leicester City defence were all over the place, again, as usual. And the attacking players from both sides actually played quite well. Nacho and Maddison for Leicester, they looked promising again. So, you know, I think if you have invested in Leicester, then fine. I don't think it's too much of an issue. I don't, you know.
United looking good, though, just as a general comment. Looking good. Obviously, Rashie's the man, but Sancho coming off the bench, I have got one eye on him, you know, and I'm obviously they've got the blank coming up, so you're not going to invest in the immediate future, but I'm just conscious that I want to get on Sancho before he explodes. I think he's got an explosive game in him. I think Terik Ten Hag is going to start him some fixture over the next sort of 3 or 4 game weeks, and he's going to get a double-digit haul, and everyone's going to go, oh, Sancho, I want, and bring him in. And I would just like to be able to know when that is, obviously, so I can get him in an FPL before then. But I just feel like he's bubbling, Sancho. I feel like he's just going to get a bit of confidence, and there's a double-digit haul there coming. Just don't know when it is.
And they also look like they're going to blank again in 28, though.
Possibly.
Because both them and Brighton are still in the FA Cup. So this is
unless
this
they
is
both
where,
get moved out, yeah.
Yeah, so you've got to get both those sides knocked out of the FA Cup, which looks unlikely. So they're going to blank in 25. They're going to play in 26 and 27, and then likely blank again in 28. And that makes them a hard investment, because, of course, then if they do blank in 28 and they get through that round of the FA Cup, they blank again in 32. Now, the good thing, of course, in all of this is that they then will get a double game week to come up. So,
yes, at some stage, yeah.
Yeah, it's like game week 29, game week 34 and 37 are all the midweeks where there's nothing currently scheduled, no other fixtures in any other competitions.
Mm.
So they look like they'll be the double slots, probably. So you could end up with a situation like you have for Brighton in 27 and 28, where they blank, they play twice and then they blank. You could have it the other way around with Man United. They might blank and then play twice.
Okay.
But it's tough. I think because I think this also couples with Brighton, right? If you've got Matoma or March or Ferguson, you probably want to keep them because they're going to double 2 weeks later.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've got to find a spot on the bench for them. You're definitely keeping Trips and you're definitely keeping Rashford. So that means if you've got Luke Shaw or Bruno, you have to sell, which is a bit difficult. Mm. But I think given that Liverpool have got a double, Arsenal have got a double, if you're not invested fully in those guys, then there are other teams that you can go to. So it would be reluctant, but I do think Bruno out probably is the right thing.
Yeah, we're going to talk about my team in a bit when we get to how we got on this game week. But I think I am going to sell him because I have to, I think, rather than I want to.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to because I think he's in good form and he's giving me a nice rank boost every time he pops up with one of those assists. Let's go back to we've got to talk about this briefly, Sam, because we're already coming up to the hour mark-ish. Chelsea 0, Southampton 1. Sorry, Harry, we are going to talk about it, mate. What are we saying about our Chelsea assets? You bought in Badiashil this week, the double Chelsea defence, which I thought was a brave move.
Why?
Well, double Chelsea defence. I mean, Chelsea not looking just strong in general, are they? I mean, they're defensively looking a little bit better recently, but you've always got the threat, and I think I said it in a couple of days before you bought him, I said at any given moment, Ward-Prowse can pop up with a free kick, and that's exactly what happened.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, I don't think anybody really expected Southampton to go to Stamford Bridge and win that game.
Well, I disagree. There was so much malaise at that club with Nathan Jones. He was like, literally hated this guy. The fans hated him, the players hated him. And all of a sudden, they've got this. Did you see how the new, who's this new Southampton guy? This Ruben, whatever his name is. I don't even know his name. Somebody in the chat will say this new guy. He was almost like the anti-Nathan Jones. Like, Nathan Jones is called Nathan Jones. He's from the UK somewhere and he wears a tracksuit. Whereas this guy's coming, he's called Ruben something. He's got a nice jawline. He's got a bit of facial hair. He's wearing a polo neck and a suit. And it looked like he's showing a bit of passion. It's almost like he dressed the anti-Nathan Jones. It's like Nathan Jones was so hated at Southampton. I'm going to just come along and be the opposite to him in every dimension and it will give the team a boost. And it did. So I disagree with you. I think the fact that Nathan Jones has been extracted from Southampton gave the whole team a boost and they played better as a result.
So you're telling me you expected Southampton to go to Chelsea and win? Because that's what I said. Nobody expected that.
No, but I thought it was risky going double Chelsea defence against a team that are going to get a boost from somebody wearing a polo neck rather than Nathan Jones.
Okay, but I didn't just bring him in for this one week And I don't think anybody, to reiterate, thought that Southampton were going to beat Chelsea. You did not think Southampton were going to win this week. So
I didn't, but then if you walked, you've talked to the Chelsea fans, most, some of which are in your family, they did expect this to be a difficult game.
They didn't. They absolutely did not. What is that with you tonight? They did not. They did not. I think what I will say is that I didn't bring in the double Chelsea defence lightly. I did it because it massively helps me out over the next few weeks to have a guaranteed starter through the blanks, because Chelsea don't. So it's very helpful to have an extra Chelsea player in. I think if you bought in João Felix this week, you know, don't panic about it, would be what I would say.
I think start panicking. If you've got Chelsea players, start panicking. They are all over the shop. They were all over the shop here.
You're right. Okay. Again, I totally disagree with you. You're not taking out Chelsea players when you've got four teams blanking.
I don't think you are, but then I don't think...
So don't panic about it.
Yeah, but my argument is, why would you have bought in a João Felix or a Badia Shiel or anybody else in the first place over the last couple of weeks? What have you seen from Chelsea?
Because they kept three clean sheets in the last four.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, listen, I don't think you're buying on the back of this. There's a lot of call for Potter out. There's a lot of malaise at the club.
I don't think you're going to buy this week, but I also don't think you're going to sell when you've got blanking teams. It would be different if it was maybe a week where everyone was playing and you maybe had a choice to be made. But I think, you know, they've got Spurs next. They always get a good result against us. I don't think they're a panic buy.
I wouldn't trust Chelsea in FPL as far as I can throw them at the minute. I really wouldn't. So that's that game. Guys, a few of you are saying in the chat that the video is a bit flaky this evening. Yeah, sorry about that. It does, on this end, it does look a little bit flaky. I think the audio, hopefully, is coming through okay, but I think the video might be a bit flaky. So sorry if the video performance isn't too great, but hopefully you can still hear us pretty clearly. One more game just to cover off, Sam. Spurs 2, West Ham 0. Sonny coming off the bench. Probably should be benched every week, because every time he comes off the bench, he gets the goal. Yeah. But Emerson Royale, on the back of a very good performance last time out, again, gets the goal. I mean, the whole of the January transfer window, Spurs faffed about with right-backs by screwing up Doherty's contract and getting Porro and getting rid of other people. And all of a sudden, the answer was always under your own nose. No. It was Emerson Royale. He's the answer.
Well, don't you think that actually having somebody that he thought was coming in to take his place has maybe actually helped him a bit?
Maybe
it's given him a bit of a boost. Look, what I will say is that he played absolutely brilliantly against Manchester City. And then they dropped him for the Leicester game, which was inexplicable to me. That was by far his best performance he's ever had in a Spurs shirt against Man City. And then they benched him. I was like, what are you doing? And we got absolutely done by Leicester. Like, defensively, we were all over the place. They bring back Emerson Royale today, and I was pleased to see his name on the team sheet. I was like, right, he deserves a chance here. Not only were we solid defensively, and for a large percentage of the first part of the game, West Ham were attacking and then we took control and it was fine. But at the beginning of the game, we had a lot of opportunities. And I said, you know, could we be going a bit Spursy again here? But we defended well. And Royale and Davis on the other side, who, by the way, hasn't played in a wing-back position since 2018.
Enjoyed himself today, I thought.
Well, he's man of the match, wasn't he?
Yeah, very good. Good performance.
The pair of them played incredibly well. And it was them that got the goal. And the fact that they went up there together, and Davis put in a really nice ball for Royale. And Royale was like a clinical finisher. He just slotted it home. And I was like,
wing back to wing back. Conte would have been loving that, wouldn't
Conte's
he?
Conte's in Italy thinking, what is happening? Oh, and by the way, the guy that's caretakering while Conte's off sick, he's been in charge for three games. We've not conceded in any of them. We've won all three.
Done all
scored
right.
Five goals. So he's doing absolutely quality. Long may he stay. Conte, take a long time recovering. You're fine.
Yeah, it's a chat saying Spurs are playing better without Conte, Tarbo is saying.
100%. We are 100% playing better. Well, you said that, didn't you, to me on Friday? You came down and you said, oh, Sam, have you seen the bad news about Conte? I was like, I see this as a benefit.
Weird,
like,
isn't it?
I see this
very
as a positive.
But what I thought about Spurs FPL, though? Let's talk about the fixtures. It's Chelsea next, who, as we're saying, hit and miss, to say the least.
Well, against us, they're quite good usually.
And then it's Wolves, Forest, Southampton, Everton. I mean, the fixtures look all right for Spurs. I mean, you're not selling Kane ahead of any of those, are you?
No, you're not. I don't think you should. Like, I couldn't. There was a lot of Kane out rhetoric going on the other day. Oh, I don't know why I've used your word, but there was a lot of Kane out stuff going on. And I think in part it was because people were maybe thinking, oh, I want to go to Salah or I want to go to Darwin.
That's it. Yeah.
But I also look at Kane and I think, all right, today he just got the assist, but that's another just got 5 more points. Like, he's just ticking over nicely every week. He's not necessarily getting huge hauls, but he is ticking over the points well. And I think if you don't have him, like, you don't have him at the moment.
No.
And he's now quite heavily owned. So he does hurt you a little bit if you don't have him and he returns.
Cost me about 10K places. It's one of those classic FPL upside chases, though, isn't it? People are going, well, I really want to go for Salah because he's got... we've seen in the past, he has a massive high ceiling. Liverpool got a double game week. Have to go for Salah. Right, okay. How do I get from Andreas to Salah? This is a bit difficult. I've got to sell Harry Kane. Oh, Kane out. And then there's this whole narrative starts. But I agree with you. If it wasn't for Haaland having the season that he's sort of having, and by the way, he might be tailing off a little bit, right? But he's had an amazing season, Haaland. If you were to take Haaland out of this year, Kane would be in 80% of teams. Because it's just like every week, just bang, points, 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 points every week.
Yeah, I agree.
There is a question mark over, I think, captaining Harry Kane ever. But at the same time...
But I don't think you'd captain Salah ever, apart from in the double, if you had him. Like, if you replace Kane with Salah for the double, and you captain Salah for the double, then fine. But going into game week 26 then, I don't think you'd hand the captain's armband back to Salah in the same way that you wouldn't with Kane. So that kind of conversation is a bit... I think the thing for me with Spurs right now is, I think you should have Kane. I don't think you should sell Kane.
If it was your only route to Salah...
I would not sell him.
Mm.
That is my only route to Salah. I'm not going to sell him.
Well, I feel the same about...
Bruno.
No, De Bruyne.
Oh, De Bruyne.
I feel the same about De Bruyne. Because if I've got Kevin De Bruyne, I'm sitting there thinking, well, that's a very easy switch to Salah.
Yeah,
very
it is,
easy.
Yeah.
But Bournemouth away? Do I really want to do that? I don't know. I think I do. I think I do. But again, I look around the rest of the team and I think, well, I could go for Gakpo. Am I overthinking it, or am I sort of half-heartedly going in on the Liverpool midfield? Actually, Salah is the one we want.
Yeah.
And we should. But I think what we're saying is, and certainly what I'm saying is, Salah is the one I want. If I wanted a Liverpool midfielder, I would go for Salah. It depends on your propensity to get rid of your other big hitters to get him in, though, is what I would say. It's not a massive stretch to get from Bruno to Salah. And I'm trying to look, I'm looking at my team desperately thinking, how do I get from Bruno to Salah?
How short are you?
Not that short. By the time I get, if I could downgrade either a Luke Shaw or a Stones to a Tarkowski.
Oh, well, Stones is an easy sell.
Yeah, probably. Before we talk about potential...
Emerson Royale, by the way, if there wasn't double game weeks coming up, I might even sit here and recommend Emerson Royale, because genuinely...
Come on.
No, honestly, the one thing I will say is when he's played the last few weeks, we have looked so much better. And the clean sheets have been sticking. So I think the fact that it's a double means you're not going to go for a Spurs player now. But if we get something out of that game against Chelsea, I think going into the run of fixtures we have post 25, you could.
Okay. All right, let's talk about our teams then and how we got on this week. Another, Sam.
By the skin of my
green
teeth.
Arrow. It might be a littler one than you're used to over the last few weeks. But what, 7 green arrows in a row?
Nine
green arrows in a row since the World Cup.
Well, one before the World Cup.
One before. So you've had a green arrow every week since the restart, which is absolutely ridiculous. Overall rank, as we've said a few times now on a Sunday, gone from something like 1.something million to 86K. So, so good. It is a smidgen, though. It is a little one this week. Plus 1.8%. But nevertheless, it's green. And a green is a green.
The Kane assist.
Done it.
Because it was red.
Yeah.
It was red. And then Kane got the assist and I thought... I think that's going to be safety score. I think I might just squeak this. And it was. Well, say my safety score this week was 54 and I got 55.
Yeah.
So it was lucky. I will say that. Obviously, Mahrez didn't play. So Andreas has come off the bench for 3.
Oh, yes. Okay. The app hasn't done that.
Hasn't
yes.
done it yet. But yeah. that has happened. That's included in that 55. I think... I'm actually quite pleased given how badly my City players did.
Mm.
So given I'd captained Haaland and didn't have anything out of Mahrez, And I had Martinelli benched in the beginning of that game because obviously, you know, yes. he didn't start. And I didn't really want to play Trippier this week, did I? I said that on the Ohana podcast for those of you that are on our Slack channel. They'd have heard me moaning about that this week.
Yeah.
But the front two outside of Haaland, Kane and Darwin, both popping up with points, which was nice.
I've enjoyed these Darwin points the last Darwin couple of weeks. The Darwin
points are really nice.
I actually was pretty disappointed when he come off. And I know he went off because of the shoulder, he's protecting him, all that sort of stuff. But it was before the 60, wasn't it? It was on 58, 59, something like that. So General's going to get a lot of shout-outs on his podcast for the likes of Darwin this week. But I was disappointed because I thought Newcastle were pushing, they're down to 10 men, there could be space in behind, Darwin's looking threatening. I was getting a bit greedy for more Darwin points, to be honest with you.
Yeah, because Darwin's so lowly owned.
Yeah, 2 or 3% EO around me.
I mean, the only thing that might help us here is that I'm quite keen for him to stay lowly owned because every time he does something, I get like a massive rank rise.
Mm.
So yesterday, I was at 62k at the end of yesterday.
Good, yeah.
And I was like, right, this is great. Decent, but I knew that Man United would cause me an issue today if they won because although I had Rashford and Shaw, I didn't have Bruno, who, although isn't highly owned, is still owned by a relatively good number of managers around me.
Mm.
And I hadn't captained Rashford and my captain had blanked.
Yes.
So going into today, I was like, that 62K is not going to stick. If it sticks green, I'm happy with how today's gone. And it did just. So I think going into game week 25, I've only got 3 players. Everybody, in theory now, can play. I've got 11.
Thoughts on transfers then? Because you've got 2 free transfers. No, because you've got Badashiel. So you've got 1 free transfer going into this week.
So, but I've got a full 11, as long as Darwin's okay.
So your bench is going to be Shaw, Trippier and Rashford.
Yes.
Assuming Darwin's okay.
Yes.
And Digne plays.
Well, Digne did get minutes against Arsenal. So even if he doesn't, even if he gets like, I mean, he's going to be the sub out. Likely.
Right,
I may yet take a -4 this week. And that was always the intention for game week 25 because I wanted a couple of Liverpool players. So as I said earlier, I have got the money to do Luca Dean to Robertson.
Okay. Don't mind it.
Which I quite like. I think the two fixtures that they have are nice.
Mm.
I don't want Robertson long term, but there's an easy out after game week 25 on him.
To who?
Well, anyone else, because he's expensive, so I can literally go anywhere I like. And I'll probably go back down to a cheap option again, because the reality is with the three, like with that team set out the way it is, that's how they're going to be set out most weeks. So I basically need
Don't you just fancy doing like a Digne to Tarkow?
Well, that's the other option. So that is my other option that I have, is to go Digne to Tarkowski. And then that leaves me with budget where I could then maybe look at upgrading one of my midfielders to Gakpo. Which is also possible.
Okay.
But obviously, my problem. So I don't quite have enough to do Andreas to Gakpo, I don't think. Maybe I do. But also then it gives me more problems again in the future. I like having Andreas.
I've got a feeling. What is the Fulham game? It's good, isn't it? I remember looking at Andreas in my team and thinking, I'm glad he's there. Fulham, Wolves at home.
Not taking Andreas out.
Well, no, but and this is the problem. So if I want to go for double Liverpool, I mean, I could sell Mahrez, but I'm not selling Mahrez ahead of Bournemouth.
Well, you just sat here and said how wonderful he is and now he's going to get the start. Yeah, so,
I like him. I don't want to sell him. So I don't really want to sell Mahrez. I could sell Martinelli, but he's got a double. I don't really want to do that. I'm not going to sell Rashford. I can't sell. Unless Saka's injured.
I don't think he's going to be that badly injured. But
I
don't
think he is. The big thing, I think, is what do I do if Darwin is injured? Like, if Darwin's not going to play, so I'm going to do Dean.
That would be a massive poke in the eye, wouldn't it? For us Darwin owners, of which there are not many of us.
Given how loyal we've been.
We've been very loyal. We've been rewarded last couple of weeks, don't get me wrong. But we're all holding on to him for this double game week coming up.
Totally.
I mean, I'm even considering, so don't say it too loudly, I'm considering the captaincy for next week.
Well, I told you I was going to captain. My full intention was to captain Darwin. I'll probably bottle it,
but he's on the radar.
Why would you bottle it?
Well, because I'll probably have Saka by the time the game week rolls around. And I think Saka is going to be the go-to captaincy.
Yeah, maybe.
I think.
But I really like the Darwin captain if he's fit. I really like it.
I don't mind it. Because if he goes off in the double, he's lowly owned and you've captained him, you're going to be steaming ahead, right?
Plus, I need a bit march. I need a march again. Because you, Mr. Bonfield, have had a good week.
Well, yeah, let's... Well, Very happy to talk about my week. So, yeah, 55 points for you, 71 for me. I've had a very good week. So, obviously, the Rashford captaincy, I just thought it was a good week to go against Haaland. It didn't sit well with me, and I'm glad that it was a 3 o'clock game here in the UK that we don't have on
you
TV.
You couldn't watch it.
So I couldn't watch it. But watch the highlights of Match of the Day on Saturday night. Yeah, there's a reason he's in the XG underachievers in the top five there with a minus 0.73 because he had chances. And there was one in the second half where he hit the bar and then blazed it over when it looked easier to tap it in. So it is by no stretch of the imagination. I'm not for a minute sitting here saying, it was an easy choice. It wasn't at all.
I don't think you were expecting Haaland to blank. You just thought with the form that Rashford is in, he might outscore him.
Yeah, and I remember, I think I said it on the Ohana podcast on Friday for the patrons. I said, I think Leicester are in a good moment. And I think Rodgers is the sort of manager where he'll try and go for it at Old Trafford. And that'll be his downfall because United can hit them on the break and they've got the players that can do that. And that's exactly what happened. Rashford on the break was exactly what happened. Now, I did get a little bit lucky with the second goal because he is marginally onside. There's a defender way across the pitch that's just keeping him on. But that marginal difference made a big, big difference. However, 71 points, and you guys are going to hate me for this, and this is the FPL greed in me kicking in, I feel hard done by.
Oh, stop.
Because the Nketiah and Ødegaard, the Ødegaard miss would have put me up into sort of 80-85 territory, which would have been unreal. And then you talk about the Ben White and Nketiah. There was that Arsenal game. Okay, I've got the Ødegaard 8-pointer out of it, but Ødegaard could have and should have had more. And Nketiah, top for XG underachievers across the game, we could have and should have had more. So I do feel like I've picked the right two Arsenal players for that game. It's just not happened. But the Rashford captaincy definitely given me a really nice green now. I'm happy with that. The Darwin points are very welcome as well. Bruno's 9 points are welcome also. So 71 points, really happy with that. The biggest green arrow I've had for some weeks, actually. I've been treading water since the World Cup and doing little bits. But I'm now 1 point ahead of you.
1 point.
1 point. So I'm now 15-27 and you're 15-26.
And that 1 point's what, 2K?
2K. Yeah. Yes, 2K in overall rank. So I'm up to 84K. So it's the first time in a long time where we've both been that high up in the top 100K. So the FPL family roller coaster of a season rumbles on and it's starting to get a little bit spicy, Sam. It's starting to get a little bit spicy. In terms of my moves for next week...
Because you've got two.
I've got two free transfers. I've got to get Saka. I've got to, I think. And that is easier said than done because I've already got my free Arsenal. So it's not a case of me saying, oh, well, I'll just do Fernandes to Saka because I can't. I've got to do Fernandes to Saka and then I've got to get rid of either one of Nketiah or White, haven't I, really?
Yeah. And what would you do? Get rid of White? For Tarko?
Probably. Because I can't see any other Arsenal attackers, any other attackers actually that's sort of standing out for me right now.
Right.
I'm looking at, I can't, obviously Harry, but I can't get that far up. And Nketiah's obviously got the double game week. So, yeah, probably going to be Ben White that goes out. But even he, I don't think is a bad pick for the double game week. I think he gets the two starts, probably.
Oh, he get the two starts?
Because I don't think Tomiyasu's fancied. So I'm in a real dilemma, honestly, real dilemma. But if I do go that way, I'll go Tarko. Yeah, I think Tarko's going to get a lot of love, Tarkovsky from Everton this week. I just think he's so cheap. And if you watch, again, the highlights of that Everton game, every set piece they look for him.
Yeah.
Absolutely every corner they're looking at Tarko to get his head on it. Now, he didn't get too much from this game, but he had that one off the post against Liverpool. The game week before Dyche's first game, can't remember who they played against, but he scored, didn't he? And it was a McNeil assist. It's just like every set piece is at Tarko. And he's looking like, actually, in the absence of Calvert-Lewin, their biggest threat.
Yeah.
Across the pitch. You know, because I think the attack is pretty impotent.
Yeah.
But from set pieces. And I think if you're Sean Dyche, you're looking at it and going, how are we going to stay up? We're going to stay up by being defensively resolute and we're going to play to our strengths, which is set pieces and getting it up to the big men. And by the way, that suits Sean Dyche perfectly. So I think Tarko is a perfectly good shout, given that Everton have got the double game week, and he's so cheap.
But if you do this, sell Ben White, get Tarko, sell Bruno, get Saka.
I've still got problems. I've still got problems.
That was going to be my next question. Yes. So I can feel a minus four coming here.
Oh, there'll be at least a four, I think. Because I've got Stones as a problem, right?
Yeah.
Unless he miraculously grows a new hamstring between now and the next game week.
So you've got to deal with Stones.
Yeah.
I mean, you still haven't got an extra Liverpool player here either.
Correct. Yeah, correct. I've got Bueno, who did play this game week. He did start this game week, but he's been in and out of the team. Bit of question marks over that,
but he's
you
got
know.
Two fixtures. You're not going to sell him.
I'm not going to sell Bueno. No.
He's going to get minutes across the two fixtures.
I think so. Yes, I think so. So he'll stay. But Stones is the other question mark. So if I go Stones to Tarko, which I am considering to sort that problem out.
Yeah.
That means I'm probably not going to have Saka unless I get rid of Ødegaard. But then why would you do that? Because really, I need to deal with Fernandes. But then I could do Fernandes to Gakpo or something like that for a hit. So there's...
But then you're on a minus Tarko.
No, if I did Stones to Tarko, yeah, that frees up about 2 million or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then I could do Ødegaard to Saka. So that's me spending the 2 million.
Fine.
So then I don't have that 2 million to do Fernandes to Salah. So I would do Fernandes to Gakpo instead.
For a minus 4.
For a minus 4, which is possible. It means I'd have to compromise on not having Mo and having Gakpo instead. But I'm sort of talking myself into that a little bit, you know? I am by no stretch of the imagination saying that you should go Gakpo over Salah for the double.
And if Darwin's...
If you can get to Salah, get to Salah.
And if Darwin's not fit...
Yeah.
That's another issue.
Yeah. It absolutely is. I'm really hoping Darwin is fit. The reason I took the... And I said before in the live stream, the reason I took the hit on Fernandes last night... So Fernandes, I think, dropped in price last night.
Yeah,
and I lost a 0.1 team value. But I did it because... It's too much uncertainty over Darwin and Saka and Stones.
Yeah, because
I need information.
Fit,
I need information.
Then you
yes.
don't need to take all of these other point changes.
Yes.
You just keep
if
White
I did,
and Ødegaard.
If
and
I did
Nketiah.
Bruno to Saka last night to avoid the 0.1, and then it turns out actually Saka's got a problem with his ankle, misses one of the games.
Yeah.
I'm annoyed because there's loads of other things I could have done.
Yeah.
And I'd have kept Ødegaard, for example.
I mean,
so I just wanted to. Again, we say it every week, folks, but there is a lot of football to be played between now.
Yeah,
and
is.
When that double game week comes around in terms of European football, and you've got the Saka news potentially, the Darwin news potentially.
Plus, you have just got games for Liverpool and Man City, and it only takes a knock for KDB
or a
Haaland injury
or
for Salah to pick up something. I mean, I hope none of these things happen, but you just don't know. And given this is all fixed by the end of Wednesday evening, it's worth waiting.
Yeah.
I think, anyway, it's worth waiting.
And, of course, you know, if De Bruyne played 90 minutes in the Champions League... You know the narrative that's coming. Well, he's rested against Bournemouth. We're not going to play him.
And the thing is that normally in the past, we would have said, because when Mahrez was benched, I was like, well, he's going to come on like 70 minutes because that's what Pep does. He does this. The fact that Pep didn't bring him on at all was what surprised me, because then it's like, well, hang on a minute. Now you've blown my tiny mind, because I was because I expect that when a player is benched that they still get, because normally Pep does at least give us a one pointer, and sometimes you need that, and in a blank game week you would want that. If KDB gets benched, you want him on for a one pointer, don't you?
So lots of combinations and permutations, and the fact we've got European football sandwiching this double game week is not going to make it easy.
Correct.
It's not going to make it easy. So I just stopped the knee from jerking. I've taken the 0.1 on the team value.
Yeah.
It is what it is. We'll just wait for information. I think information is going to be key for us going into this double game week. But yeah, listen, it's a humdinger of a battle, Sam, from FPL Family. We've got 15-27 for me, 15-26 for you. It's a hell of a battle, isn't it? It's a roller coaster this season. I'm loving it. I'm enjoying it. Both of us in the top 100k, which is pretty... Well, listen, I'm chuffed with that, to be fair, because it's making a bit of a game of it. So it's great. Really, really good. What is coming up this week, Sam? Loads and loads of stuff, as usual, I suspect.
Always loads of stuff. What is actually happening this week? So we are recording an in-person podcast this week, actually. So the official
You
pod,
and Jules and Kelly?
And Kelly, yeah.
Very good.
So we'll be doing...
Got a guest this week?
Yes, it is...
Are you allowed to tell us? Is it a secret?
No, it's not a secret.
Okay. Can you remember?
Yeah. it's an actor.
All right, okay.
He is a West End actor. He is about to star in the new Time Traveller's Wife, which is opening in the West End.
Very nice. Okay, good.
So we've got that on Wednesday.
Off the Bench podcast this Monday
is with Harry.
Very good, Harry.
And I think it's Gianni.
Is it? Okay, very
Harry,
good.
I think it's... Is it Gianni? I think it's Gianni. I need to message them both in a minute, actually. So that's happening this week. And obviously, we'll have an Ohana podcast out, as usual, on
for
Friday
our patrons,
for our patrons.
couple of voice notes throughout the week. Hope you're enjoying the voice notes, folks, podcast listeners. Yeah. Hope you're enjoying the little voice notes that we do, the mini podcasts throughout the week, just on little, whenever we get a little thought or we have a little bit of something to say.
I suspect we'll do one after the Champions League games in midweek, just to kind of...
Yeah, I should think so.
Because we'll know more about Liverpool and Man City and what's happening there. We might have, some information.
All right, there we go, folks. Thank you for joining us tonight on the FPL Family live stream. Hope you enjoyed it. Leave us a like if you did. And if you're not yet subscribed to the channel, we'd love you to go and hit that big red button on your way out. Well done this game week. And yeah, listen, my advice absolutely is hold your transfers. Stop those knees from jerking this evening, this Sunday evening. Wait till we see the European games. Get more information on the likes of Saka and Darwin as we head into this next round of fixtures, which is a big double game week. Blank and double game week is going to be very, very difficult to navigate. So well done this week, and we'll see you this time next Sunday night for another FPL Family. Cheers, guys.
Bye, guys.